TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Welcome in, Raised by Wolves, Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill, talking Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. The team's 4-2 out to a better start than I think either of us envisioned them getting off to.
Certainly, yeah.
They play their first Western Conference opponent today. It's taken forever. They're the only team in the NBA that has not played a team in their own conference yet.
That's right.
The only two teams in the NBA, unless I don't think Detroit did last night, but the only two teams in the NBA, yeah, they didn't, that have not played a Western Conference team are the Wolves and the Pistons. And the Pistons are in the East. The Wolves have played, they're 4-2, and they've played six games against the Eastern Conference so far.
I didn't even think about that. That's amazing.
It is wildly interesting, but what I want to dive into today, at least to start, is what we've learned about this team through six games. And I think it's a little interesting because not only have they had six games where they've won, I think, a few more games than we had anticipated them winning, they've won one of them without Karl Anthony Towns. They played another one of them without Karl Anthony Towns. The game against Philadelphia was half without Karl Anthony Towns, and had he stayed in, I still don't think they're winning that game. But regardless, right, that's what the situation's been. So, Manny, let me ask you this to start off here. What's been your biggest takeaway from the first six games so far?
I think, if anything, if you look at these last two games that Cat has been out, I think it's a good sign what we saw on Saturday against Washington, in that if Cat has to miss a couple of games, that they can still go and beat a bad team.
Yes.
Like, it's not, I mean, obviously Cat is their best player. He's their everything by a wide margin. But I think what Saturday showed is that, okay, they can go on the road and beat another bad team without Karl Anthony Towns, and or at least still compete in those games.
Yeah.
But obviously, Monday night just clearly showed you needed Cat to even have a chance to win that game. And even then, you probably still don't win because the Bucks are just that good.
That was going to be a really tough matchup with Karl Anthony Towns healthy on the lineup. The Bucks are really good right now. And that's something that was going to be a challenge. The fact that I was impressed with what they were able to do in the first half against Milwaukee, even, because now I think I realize that this is a team that, and no pun intended here, has some fight to it. This is a team that's not going to just lay down, because they easily could have against Milwaukee in that third quarter. I know things got away from them.
Yeah.
But in the first half, the Bucks kept trying and trying and trying to make a run. And every time the Bucks made a run and pushed the lead out to 7, 8, or 9 points, the Wolves were able to come right back and they cut that lead down to 2 or 3 or whatever it was. They kept fighting back in that game. Now, they couldn't get it over the hump. And then I do think that the sequence at the end of the first half, with the Giannis block charge, was there time left, ended up ultimately being an and
that
one.
That was such a gong show.
I think that is what ultimately swung the game, and I don't think the Wolves would have won anyways, but I think the third quarter would have been a little bit different had that not happened. But still, I was impressed with what they were able to do in the first half without Karl against that team.
Yeah, it was impressive, and I was actually really impressed with how Andrew Wiggins played throughout pretty much the entire game, too. I mean, he's been the topic of discussion for so long, but these first six games, it does feel like something is progressing with him.
I would agree.
It's not been a substantial progression, but we're seeing something different with him. There were a couple plays in the game on Monday where he drove to the rim, and both times I was thinking, if this was last year, Andrew would have pulled up for an 18-foot jumper that probably would have clanked off the back of the iron. And instead he drove to the rim. And that to me is progress. That's a sign that he is buying into what they're trying to do now offensively. It's a drastically different system, and he's willing to take the next step to try and better himself as a basketball player. And that's been an encouraging sign so far.
I do think he is making progress. Now, it's progress that's going to take time, and I know that both of us have been really critical of him on this podcast. I've been critical of him in written work at scorenorth.com, and it's been deserved. But I do think that when he deserves credit, you need to give him credit, and he is trying to make that adjustment. His shot chart so far this year looks so drastically different to what it's ever looked like in his career. Now, there are still some of those hiccups where he still does take a mid-range jump shot, and they're not all bad. I'm not here to say that every mid-range jump shot is bad. It shouldn't just be, oh, things at the rim and things behind the arc. That's not what it should look like, but the volume of mid-range jump shots just needed to be much different than it was in the past, and it has been. I do think he deserves credit for that. That being said, I do think that a lot of the success he has is going to be whether or not he knocks down threes.
Yeah.
Whether or not he can shoot the three at a high enough clip to justify him getting as many shots as he gets is going to tell us how successful he is. That's exactly what we're going to be judging the success of Andrew Wiggins this year on.
Yeah, and Monday was one of those good nights. He was 4 of 7 from three, and that's a good sign. But there are going to be some nights where he goes 1 of 6, and that's not going to be good. And you just hope that he continues to improve as a three-point shooter, because that's going to be, if he's not going to get to the rim all the time, that's going to be the next thing that he needs to be able to do, is to knock down some threes. I think, Danny, at least at a league average rate, if he can get up to 34-35%, I think for now that's pretty acceptable for him.
Yeah, and he's at 33% right now. He started off awful. I mean, I don't think he did not hit a three until the fourth quarter of that Miami game, when he hit those four straight. Those were the first four threes that he hit all season. I think he started off 0 of 13 from deep. So his percentage was in the tank for a while. But since that 0 of 13 start, he's not bad. Now he's at 13 of 39 from deep, and that's an okay mark for him. He's shooting 33%. You'd like to see it a little bit higher, but you can't really complain too much about that from Andrew. And I do think that the fact that he's getting to the rim, that his frequency of shots at the rim has gone up too, is something that's super encouraging, because he is taking more shot attempts per game this year than he did last year. And even with that, his mid-range numbers are down. His numbers both at the rim and behind the arc are up, and that's a great sign.
Where is he having the most success shooting the three?
I haven't dug
into that.
Is it on the wings,
kind of?
I haven't dug into that, but I think that's where the highest frequency for him has been. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that he's taken a ton of corner three so far. I would have to guess it's that left wing, but I'm not positive about that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he starts taking more threes from, like, the corner three. And it's usually, like, is it the left corner?
The
that
left corner,
does better
he was really good in the left corner last year. And granted, he didn't take a ton of attempts from the left corner last year, but that's the spot he was. That was, I want to say he shot over 45% from the left corner last year. This year, I can pull up his shot chart really quick here from NBA.com, but yeah, it's that left wing is where he's been. Actually, that's really the only spot he's been good at. He's 7 of 18 on the left wing, and everywhere else, he's 4 of 13 at the top, 1 of 5 on the right wing. He's only taken 3 corner threes from the left. He's 1 of 3 there. Hasn't taken any on the right yet.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see if they try to draw up some things to get him over there and get him some opportunities. And obviously you need Carl on the floor to be able to take some attention and, you know, free up some space for Andrew on the perimeter and things like that. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to see some progression from him. What do you think of what we have seen from Jeff Teague so far?
Jeff's been very up and down.
Yeah.
And I do think that part of the reason Jeff's been up and down is because of what he dealt with last year. While Jeff is 100%, I'm never going to call anyone 100% healthy, because I understand that these guys aren't that most of the time. But Jeff is healthy now, but he wasn't all summer because he was rehabbing that ankle surgery that he had this offseason that ended his season prematurely last year. Only played 40-something games, and he didn't get to play basketball at all this summer. He was basically just in a trainer's room trying to get better. So I think he's still trying to shake off some rust. Which is an understandable thing.
Yeah.
I think he will get better as the year goes on. I still think Jeff Teague is going to have a good year. But the fact that he's still trying to immerse himself in all of this, especially at that guard position, is a tough thing to do. So I do think he'll get better. But right now, he's been up and down. Like in that Miami game, the second half, now Andrew Wiggins gets a ton of credit for the Wolves winning that game.
But Jeff was really good.
And he deserves a ton of credit because, I mean, he had, 16 points in the last 6 minutes of that game. Mm-hmm. Jeff Teague had 12 fourth quarter points. He was really good down the stretch of that game, too. He just gets overlooked because Wiggins went on an 11-0 run in the last 3 minutes, which that deserves a little bit more credit, in my opinion. But still, he's had some really good moments. He just hasn't been consistent enough.
I like that little teardrop that he's added to his repertoire.
Yeah. And you know what? Andrew's kind of used that shot too this year. Andrew's done that when he can't get all the way to the rim. He's been pretty comfortable pulling up at about 8 or 9 feet and just kind of dropping it in. And it's looked pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean, we keep saying this, but it's just so refreshing to see this team take better shots than what they have been taking in the past. And, I mean, you're seeing it, and it's great. I want to ask you about Robert Covington too, because Dane and I had this conversation towards the end of the podcast last week on Thursday. is he – I understand that they're – the way they want to play and because of the depth or lack of depth that they have sort of in the front court, that obviously Rocco has been starting at the four and playing primarily at the four. Do you think that is the best way to utilize him? I mean, depth and all that stuff aside, just do you think that is the best way to utilize him?
I don't think it's the best way to utilize him, but I think it might be the best way for this team to utilize him.
Okay.
If you're just looking at Robert Covington, the player in a vacuum, I don't think that this is the perfect situation for him.
Right.
I think that the perfect situation for him is let him play the three, let him guard anyone that he needs to be able to guard, whether it's the primary ball handler, whether it's a guy like a Kawhi Leonard or a LeBron James on the wing, whether it's one of those guys. But I think that pigeonholing him at the four because he's playing undersized there and you've got mm-hmm. someone smaller than him, he can't really go down a position ever when right. he's to guard at that spot. So that's why I don't think it's the perfect way to utilize him. But in the same breath, the Wolves really don't necessarily have a ton of other options.
Right.
So I understand why they do it. But if you're trying to absolutely maximize Robert Covington, which isn't the goal of this team. The goal of this team is to maximize Karl-Anthony Towns. So sure. I get it. But if you're trying to maximize Robert Covington, playing him at the four, I don't think is the best idea.
Yeah, because he's not... I mean, he's not playing poorly. I mean, I'm not saying that, but it's just I think I just got so used to seeing how effective he was, like, as a defender last year, even though that was such a small sample size, that I'm not seeing that same sort of impact. Now, he may be playing well defensively, and that, you know, I'm just not looking at it that way, but it's just kind of weird seeing him play primarily the four, and he's not being sort of that active wing defender that's disruptive and checking the other team's best perimeter player and things like that. And I know that's more so been Trevion Graham's role, but it's just been interesting to see Robert Covington sort of being used this way as opposed to what we've been used to seeing him be used.
Yes, it is interesting to see that. That's for sure. Like last year, the role that he had in the brief time that he played for the Wolves was a better role for him personally.
Cool.
I do believe that. What have you thought so far about how this team has played offensively, about the new system and how they've adjusted there? What has that looked like to you?
I like that they're playing faster. I think if you're today's league, I mean, everybody is playing at somewhat of a faster pace than what they were 15 years ago. And I think that that's an important thing. I think if you're trying to give yourself the best chance to grow and to compete and, you know, grow the players that you have on this team, I think this is the best way to do it. I mean, you have to shoot more threes. You have to play faster. You have to be able to dictate the tempo of a game and have control of that. And I like what I've seen so far. I mean, it's tough to really determine if this is the best fit for this group because I think there are a lot of guys on this team that are not going to be long for this team.
Well, I don't think it's the best fit for this group. I think it's the best fit for what they want to do moving forward.
Right.
And Ryan's talked about that, where Ryan has said that they're prioritizing the system over necessarily the pieces they have right now.
Yeah.
That they're going to figure out this puzzle at some point. And all the pieces they have right now don't fit that puzzle. It's impossible to do that. But it is interesting to me that they're number one in the league in pace. They are the fastest team in the NBA right now. Tonight's game is going to be really fast because Memphis is fourth and the Wolves are number one in pace. And this could be a game that just absolutely flies. That being said, it's tough for me to really judge the offense because we've only had like three and a half games of Carl.
Yep.
So I think tonight will be interesting when they're going up against another really fast team. Carl's not going to fight anybody, and we'll get to see a full game of him. So that's what really does interest me about this game against Memphis tonight for the Wolves.
It is it's crazy to think that these two teams that are going to play tonight have the last few years have always kind of been known as teams that more so grind it out and play slower.
Right?
And now they're both like in the top five in the league in pace. That's
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like we're so far removed now from Tibbs' Wolves and you know the grit and grind days of the Memphis Grizzlies. It's it is truly amazing.
Yeah, it's such a different world than what it was 3-4 years ago. You never would have thought that we'd be saying this about a Wolves Grizzlies matchup. That oh, it's going to be fast paced.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic, but today work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, and with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton and adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
So when you look at this roster, how many guys on this roster do you think would fit with what they're trying to do long term?
I don't know if all of these guys would be around, but theoretically I could see these guys fitting, okay? Mm-hmm. Obviously, Carl goes without saying because yep. he's the centerpiece of all this.
Yep.
Jarrett Culver, I do think fits. I think Shabazz Napier fits. I think Andrew Wiggins can fit. I think Jake Layman can fit. Mm-hmm. I think Jordan Bell fits. We haven't seen a ton of him, but I do think that his skill set fits. He's super athletic. He can run the floor. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to be. Now, his shooting isn't exactly what you want, but in terms of backup center minutes, I think that he can do some things if you have another creator that doesn't need to play that position in the second unit. Jordan Bell, I think, and he's given them good minutes when he's been able to play. Mm-hmm. So I think that those guys are all at the top of my list. Covington fits because he's a 3-and-D guy. He fits any system that there is.
Yep.
So I would say that group.
Okogie?
Okogie does fit, but I think they need to start seeing more out of him offensively.
Yeah.
That being said, whenever he's on the floor, good things happen. Yeah. Like good stuff just happens. Yes, he just does things. That's the best way to. I said that about him last year, and that still, in my opinion, is the best way to describe Josh Okogie. He just does things.
Yeah, it's been really amazing.
He is he's kind of like Marcus Smart, but doesn't fall down all the time. That's yeah. the biggest difference. Yeah. Marcus Smart falls down all the time and Josh Okogie doesn't.
Yeah, I mean it's funny too. Like I'm looking at the box score from the other night and you know, sometimes you got to take plus minus as a grain of salt, but
yeah.
you know, Josh Okogie played 22 minutes and he was an even plus minus.
Which had to be the best of actual rotation guys, I would guess.
Yes. Well, Vonleh was a plus 3. Napier was actually a plus 5.
Okay, I could see those. Those make sense. When Napier came in the first half, well, and Eric Bledsoe just kind of took Jeff Teague's lunch money on Monday night, too.
Yeah.
He just kind of bullied him for a little while.
That's something that Eric Bledsoe is pretty good at.
Until the playoffs come around, and then and then he gets punked by Terry Rozier and Fred VanVleet.
So, on the Bucks, very quickly, because you had Eric name here on Monday.
Yeah.
What is your takeaway now that you've gotten a full look at the Bucks now too?
I think that they miss Malcolm Brogdon a lot. Mm-hmm. I think that this is I don't think that this Bucks team is as good as last year's Bucks team. I don't. I think that they might have a better chance to win a title than last year's Bucks team did, just because that there is less competition in the East. It's them and Philly, mm-hmm. but I would pick Philly to win that series as things stand right now.
Yeah, I mean it is. I was watching and you know, and Wesley Matthews is fine as a player, but like I'm seeing him play and it's just kind of like, yeah, I kind of feel like Malcolm Brogdon's would be just better for that role.
Yeah, well, you know? And you can. There are ups and downs with both of them. With Brogdon, he's got an injury history.
Yeah,
and it's. I understand being skeptical of that. But Eric Bledsoe has been a bad player in the playoffs the last 2 years. Like, not just oh, he hasn't been himself. He's been unplayable bad in the playoffs the last 2 years. And that's – they gave him that contract before they saw that for a second year in a row. And that's something that I think that they're going to regret. And because they said that they didn't want to go into the luxury tax. Mm-hmm. Not yet, because they know they're going to have to face the repeater tax in a couple of years. Well, if Giannis isn't around, you're not going to be in the tax anyways. And if you don't win, Giannis might not be around.
Yeah.
So they might have... Yeah. They might never hit the tax and regret that move all the way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Is there any team in the East? I mean, we can get to the West here in a second too. But is there any team in the East that has kind of surprised you so far?
Charlotte's been a lot better than I thought they'd be. I don't think that they'll be good. I still think they're going to win like 25 games.
Yeah,
but they've been better than I thought they would be, and they're. Like, they are 4-3, I think, with a scoring differential of minus 40 because they've just won close games. Yeah. They're 4-0 in games that have featured clutch time, and they're 0-3 in games that haven't, which is a really funny short sample size early season
That's
type
hilarious.
Of stat. Boston has looked better than I thought they would be. I watched them last night against Cleveland. They look better than I thought they were going to look. Philly hasn't surprised me. I thought they were going to be the best team in the East. They have been. Miami, I thought that they were going to finish third or fourth. They've looked good. Other than that, no. I mean, Indiana hasn't looked as good as I thought they could look. Mm-hmm. Indiana may be surprised in a disappointment.
When is Depot coming back?
December, January is what I've heard. That's what I've seen. I don't know that there's not like a concrete timeline on him that I've seen put out there.
And even when he comes back, I mean, there's going to be that sort of that grace period of where he's
going
to get his legs back underneath him and everything too. But it'll be interesting to see how they look once they get him back too.
And I've been a little disappointed in Brooklyn in the East too.
Yeah.
I thought they'd get off to a better start.
Well, then you hear all those rumblings with Kyrie and all that other stuff. I mean, that's whatever, but...
It's always going to exist with Kyrie. He's not. I don't think that this honeymoon is going to be spoiled anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm just curious as to what's going on with them in terms of just why they haven't been quite as good. I don't know. It's been...
I think it's going to take... I mean, if you remember last year, I think they started like 8-19. They got off to a really slow start last year and then turned it on.
Okay. We'll see. What do you think of what Anthony Davis said? The whole Chicago
about Chicago thing. I think he's just trying to make people laugh. He's staying in LA. I would be utterly shocked if Anthony Davis plays for anyone other than the Lakers in the 2020-21 season.
Yeah, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world for him to stay there, right? I mean, LeBron's
not hanging
out
anytime.
He'll go to
Chicago when he's like 35.
Yeah, little
that's what
homecoming
he'll do.
Deal. Yes. Yeah, I can totally see that.
He'll go to Chicago at the same age Dwayne Wade went to Chicago.
Anybody in the West kind of surprised you so far?
I think we have to give the Phoenix Suns some credit for what they've done. They've looked damn good.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing not because I didn't think at the time that they had one of the best off seasons around. Because it was all underwhelming signings. It's like, oh, you got Aaron Baines and Ricky Rubio. And you traded for Dario Saric. Like, none of those guys necessarily move the needle. But what they all are is none of them are Dragon Bender. All of them are actual NBA players.
None of them are Marquise Chris.
They didn't have actual NBA players. That's what it's been. They've been sending out Devin Booker and some G League guys. And that's why they've been a team that hasn't won more than 24 games in 4 years.
And this has been with DeAndre Ayton only playing one game so far. And, you know, and Aaron Baines has stepped in and done.
Aaron Baines, he's
really good, man.
Aaron Baines makes winning plays. Aaron Baines is never going to stuff the stat sheet. He's never going to be an all-star. He's never going to be that type of dude. But Aaron Baines does things that help you win. Yeah. On a regular basis. I'm not sure that there's a better screen setter in the NBA right now than Aaron Baines.
Frank Kaminsky's been really solid for them, you know, and you know, Ricky is, I mean, there's always sort of this, locally here, there's always sort of been this love affair with Ricky Rubio, people a lot higher on him than I think they probably should be. I mean, Ricky's a solid player. But
yeah, he's all right.
But, if anything, he has kind of stabilized that position for them. I mean, he's never going to be an all-star player, obviously, but he's stabilized that position. I mean, they basically did not have a point guard last year. And that was, I mean, you could just see it. And now it helps, it's better.
It helps Bender to get to go back to playing shooting guard. And I think last year, one of the underrated moves that they made last year that kind of helped to shift this whole thing into where it is now is trading Trevor Ariza for Kelly Oubre Jr.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a great move right now because Kelly Oubre has been awesome. And Trevor Ariza was a rental for Washington.
And Monty Williams can coach, too.
Yes, he deserves a lot of credit,
yeah,
too. But the roster for the Suns this year compared to last year is much, much better.
And it's interesting because Dane and I were talking about this, too, about when you look at the West and some of the teams that have disappointed. You know, you look at a team like Sacramento hasn't been very good. You know, New Orleans hasn't been as good. Now, obviously, they don't have Zion, so that's been a part of it, too.
And Drew's missed a few games.
Yeah. And so the thought was like, okay, well, the Wolves are off to a nice start. Is it at least a little bit more realistic to think that this team could be in the conversation at least for trying to get a last playoff spot? But when you look at Phoenix playing as well as they've been playing, then you're kind of like, well... Sacramento's fallen off, but Phoenix has jumped up.
So here's the thing. I think that there are two playoff spots that are open. If you look at last year's field, look at the eight teams that made last year's field, I think that there are two teams we can say will not be returning to the playoffs in the Western Conference. The Golden State Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yep.
I think both those teams will not be returning to the playoffs.
Agree.
The Los Angeles Lakers are making the playoffs, so there goes one of those spots. Mm-hmm. That spot is gone. And then you've got that last spot for Dallas, Phoenix, Minnesota, Sacramento, if they figure it out. Like, that's what that last spot is going to come down to.
Well, going to be a dogfight. Going to be interesting. Sacramento, I'm really curious to see them, too, because I'm really, really surprised that they're off. Now, they've won two in a row after an 0-5 start.
Yeah,
but
I haven't watched them yet.
Yeah, but me neither. And I'd be very curious to see like what the issues have been. And, you know, they've won two in a row, so maybe they've sort of figured things out. But, yeah, I'd be really curious to see what the issue there has been so far, because they were a team that you thought, okay, if one of the teams from last year's playoffs is going to fall off, obviously, the Lakers are going to jump into that conversation, but the Kings might be a team that could push for that spot, maybe not necessarily get in, but push for that spot if they improve off of last year. So I'd be really curious to see what happens with Sacramento, too.
Do you think this 4-2 start for the Wolves is for real?
I don't think it's for real. But I will say this. I think it means that they are better than I thought they were going to be.
Sure.
I thought, you know, last week before the season started, I said I put them on about 36 wins. I think 40 wins is a little bit more realistic now from what I've seen so far.
Yeah, I'm at the point I wouldn't be stunned if they make the playoffs, but they certainly have surprised me so far.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be stunned, but... there's starting to be a sliver of hope that it can happen.
Yeah. And the biggest thing now is Carl just needs to not get in any more fights. Don't get suspended.
This team is going to go as Carl Anthony Towns goes. That's how it's going to be.
It's Carl, that was great. You got in a fight with Embiid. You showed that you're not going to get bullied around anymore, but let's not get suspended for any more games. They need you out there to play. You've missed two games. You need to finish the season with 80 games played.
Yes, he does need to finish at least close to that.
That would be ideal.
We'll see what happens. That's Manny Hill. Follow him on Twitter at MannyHill84. I'm Danny Cunningham. I'm on Twitter at RealDCunningham. Raised by Wolves will be back tomorrow. Dane Moore will join me in studio to chat the latest with the Wolves, and we'll talk to you then. You can find the podcast on the all-new Score North app, available for Apple and Android devices, as well as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. Check us out and give us a 5-star review if you could. That'd be great. We'll talk to you next time.